Today's scripture readings invite us to look deeply into our lives, learn from past experiences, and realize that the past should not hold us back or swallow us up. In the first reading, Isaiah tells us, "Do not remember the former times or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." And in Psalm 126, which our choir sang, recalls the time when the city of Jerusalem was captured and the people were carried off to slavery in Babylon in the 6th century before Christ. Then 50 years later, the people came back. Jerusalem was rebuilt. And as the psalmist tells us, the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion. Our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongues with shouts of joy. Where before there was sadness, now there is joy. God cares for us in dark times. Theologian Ron Rollheiser shares a poignant story about a woman who came to a therapist in great distress. Her husband had recently died of a heart attack. His death had been sudden. They'd been happily married for 30 years, and during all those years had never had a major crisis in their relationship. On the day her husband died, they had gotten into an argument about something very insignificant, and it had escalated to the point where they began to hurl some mean and cutting words at each other. At a point, agitated and angry, her husband stomped out of the room, told her he was going shopping, and then died of a heart attack before he got to the car. Understandably, the woman was devastated by the sudden death of her spouse, but also by that last exchange. All these years, she lamented, we have this loving relationship, and then we have this useless argument over nothing, and it ends up being our last conversation. The therapist led off with something meant partially in humor. He said, how horrible of him to do that to you, to die just then. Obviously, the man hadn't intended his death, but its timing was in fact awfully unfair to his wife, as it left her holding a guilt that was seemingly permanent with no apparent avenue for resolution. However, after that opening, the therapist followed by asking her, if you had your husband back for 5 minutes, what would you say to him? Without hesitation, she answered, I would tell him how much I loved him, how good he was to me for all these years, and how our little moment of anger at the end was a meaningless episecond that means nothing in terms of our love. The therapist then said, you are a woman of faith. You believe in the communion of saints. Well, your husband is present to you now, so why don't you just say all those things to him right now? It's not too late to express all that to him. And the therapist is right. It's not too late. It's never too late to tell our deceased loved ones how we really feel about them. It's never too late to apologize for the ways that we might have hurt them. It's never too late to ask their forgiveness for our negligence and the relationship. It's never too late to speak the words of appreciation, affirmation, and gratitude we should have spoken to them while they were alive. As Christians, we have the great consolation of knowing that death isn't final, that it's never too late. And we desperately need that second chance. No matter who we are, we're always inadequate in our relationships. We can't always be present to our loved ones as we should. We sometimes say things in anger and bitterness that leave deep scars. We betray trust in all kinds of ways. And we mostly lack the maturity and self-confidence to express the affirmation we should be conveying to our loved ones. None of us fully measures up. At the end of the day, all of us lose loved ones in ways similar to how that woman lost her husband. With unfinished business, with bad timing, there are always things that should have been said and weren't, and things that are always, that have been said, that shouldn't have been said and were. But that's where our Christian faith comes in. We aren't the only ones who come up short. At the moment of Jesus' death, virtually all of his disciples had deserted. Good Friday was bad long before it was good. And this is the point. As Christians, we don't believe there will always be happy endings in this life, nor that we will always be adequate in life. Rather, we believe that the fullness of life and happiness will come to us through the redemption of what has gone wrong, as St. Paul tells us in today's epistle to the Philippians. So if you've lost a loved one in a situation where there was still something unresolved, where there was still a tension that needed easing, where you should have been more attentive, or where you feel badly because you never adequately expressed the affirmation and affection that you might have, know it's not too late. You can tell your deceased loved one of your love today. In today's gospel, Jesus is at the home of his friends, Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. Mary anoints Jesus with precious perfume. Judas tries to stop her, but Jesus says, "No, don't stop her, because the perfume is for the day of my burial." Jesus knows he will be arrested and put to death. Mary also knows and anoints Jesus in this loving gesture. Now, this is not a custom in our culture of pouring perfume on people who we love. A contemporary example in our culture might be wiping the forehead of an ill family member who is in hospice, wiping that person's forehead with a cold cloth. Mary's intent is to express her love for Christ, and she inspires us to express love to those around us. As we prepare to enter into Holy Week, we can know that Jesus was a human person like us. He experienced difficult days, setbacks, frustrations, defeats, and discouragement. He experienced suffering and death upon the cross. Jesus was one of us. We identify with him. We can ask him to be with us in our darkest moments and know that he hears our prayer. This is the mystery of faith that we celebrate together. We draw strength to deal with the defeats and discouragements in our lives because God is with us.
Amen.